Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scair, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I am here.
Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
A very familiar scene from the Ten Commandments where Moses stands at the burning bush. And there is God speaking, identifying himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is that God? We think in generic terms, we think about this as one of the many times that Moses would stand and speak face to face with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Should we rethink this just a little bit? And identify this as one of the clearest times when Christ appears, when Christ speaks in the Old Testament. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us to continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament. We're in Exodus chapter 3, the first 15 verses, Moses at the burning bush. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
We say God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Should we tweak that just a little bit for clarity's sake and say Christ appeared to Moses in the burning bush?
Well, I think that the issue at hand here is Christ present in the Old Testament scriptures and the Old Testament times? Or did Christ just come upon the scene later on in the days of the New Testament? Or is Christ the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal one who is eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit? And so we see a consistent message throughout the Scriptures that God comes to his people, and specifically that it's the second person of the Holy Trinity who comes to reveal God. You see this in John's Gospel in the New Testament, where you're taught to make this whole distinction in persons between the one who sins and the one who is sent. So it's the Father who sends the Son. The Son is the sent one. And this is the language of a messenger. You have a messenger who's sent with the message, and you have the one who sends the messenger. So John's Gospel just really lays this all out, explaining the Father sending the Son, the Son reveals the Father, so that you have, again, in John chapter 1, no one has ever seen God, but it's the only begotten God who is at the Father's side that has made him known. And then, of course, also later on in John chapter 6, Jesus reiterates this and says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from the Father, he has seen the Father. So it's the Son alone who sees the Father, and then it's the Son who makes the Father known to us.
So all of that tells you what about what, or let's say, who Moses saw and spoke with at the burning bush?
Well, what's interesting with the text is the text starts off with verse 2, noting that the messenger of Yahweh is revealing himself to Moses in the midst of the bush. So we have this language of the Malach Yahweh. I mean, typically we translate this as the angel of the Lord. But when you look at a passage like this, you say, now this is not a created angel, because this messenger who's in the midst of the bush speaks, and he says, I am Yahweh. I am the God of your father. And so you see that Yahweh is speaking from the midst of the bush, so that we identify this messenger of Yahweh as being Yahweh himself, just like we do in the New Testament. We confess that Jesus is Lord. That is, Jesus is Yahweh, the one who has come to redeem us, to save us.
So when the pre-incarnate Christ appears to Moses here, he appears in a very particular historical context, both for the man Moses and for his people. Take us into that context and what Christ is doing here in the Old Testament, intervening in history.
Well, what we see in the Old Testament is that it's the second person of the Holy Trinity who comes to us in our day of trouble. He's the one who comes to deliver us. I mean, when you look at this terminology, the Malach Yahweh, the first time that this appears is actually in Genesis chapter 16, when Hagar is destitute and sent out into the wilderness by Sarah, and she doesn't know what's going on. She's just completely distraught. But who comes to her? Yahweh. In Yahweh specifically as the messenger of Yahweh, the second person of the Trinity. So Hagar says that you are a God who sees me. That's who she names, the Malach Yahweh. And so we already see this in Genesis. He's the one who comes to help in that day of need. He came to Jacob, so that in the end of Genesis in chapter 48, Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh by the name of the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil. So we see this constant pattern that the second person, the pre-incarnate Christ, comes to redeem. And the Israelites in the book of Exodus are in need of redemption. I mean, this is how the whole book opens up, that they cry out to Yahweh because of their oppression. They are in slavery to Pharaoh, they are stuck in Egypt, and they are not seeing the fulfillment of the promise of the land to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so who's going to come on the scene to fulfill the promise? The pre-incarnate Christ.
Should we note something about these pre-incarnation appearances? They're not always this way, but in the whole cycle of Moses, they generally are. When Christ appears to Moses or to the people in general, it's a pretty fearsome experience. In fact, even in this one where he is more kind of physically approachable, he still tells them, the first thing he says is, don't get too near. Take off your shoes. This is a holy place where you are standing.
Yeah, so throughout the whole Old Testament scriptures, what we see is that God is not distant and far off. God is the one who comes to us. And so in all of these, what sometimes are called theophanies, where God reveals his presence to his people, this is going to point towards this very special way in which he will reveal himself to his people in the Holy Incarnation. So all of these appearances of the second person in the in the Old Testament shows forth the incarnation in the New Testament. So he takes a bodily, this tangible, this physicality, this form that somehow you can be there in the presence, not just a mere voice. I mean, the tape you were playing before is like this idea of there's a voice coming from somewhere and we don't know where it is. That's usually the concept that you see in the movies, is that God just speaks in an abstract voice somewhere and you're looking around trying to find him. But instead, this is God who actually comes and interacts in his creation in order to bring salvation. And most especially in the New Testament, he takes upon creation in the flesh and blood from the Virgin Mary. So you see this consistent theme and action of what God is and what God does throughout the entire Scripture.
So this is all foreshadowing when he will appear in the flesh in the New Testament to save his people ultimately, and it will not be everywhere Jesus walks, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground, or do not come near. He becomes not just approachable, but he becomes exactly like us in every way, yet without sin.
Yeah, so that's the issue is, because of our sin, we are unholy and we cannot approach God. But it's the second person of the Holy Trinity who comes to us to approach us. I mean, so what's interesting in that passage that you're referring to is that Moses is not to approach him, but yet he's the one who approaches Moses. So Moses is not, and also note, Moses is not just wandering around in the wilderness seeking God and purpose for his life. Instead, Moses is just AWOL, right? And it's God who has to come to him. Moses is lost. And so it's God who has to approach him. And so this is the message throughout the scripture, that we cannot approach God because of our sin and unholiness. But God himself approaches us.
But he is still warned to stay off, and Moses is afraid. He covers his face and is afraid to look at God. Is this a dangerous situation for Moses?
Well, this is also a typical way that this plays out throughout the Scripture, so that when God comes into your presence, I mean, immediately it strikes fear in you because you want to know, why is he here? Is he here to destroy me? I mean, you get this even like when the shepherds, in the field when Jesus is born in Bethlehem see the angels, their fear strikes them. Or when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, I mean, this is not normal, and so immediately the angel Gabriel has to say, "Fear not, Mary, because you have found favor with God." So when you see something out of the ordinary and all of a sudden you're standing in the presence of God, you know that your guilt is here, is that I can't stand in his presence. I mean, just like when Peter is in the boat with Jesus and they catch that huge, enormous amount of fish, and immediately Peter says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinner and I can't be in your presence." But this is the whole point, that when you stand before the holiness of God, it reveals your unholiness. But then God assures you with this gospel presence that he's not approaching you to destroy you. He's approaching you for your benefit, to make you holy, because he alone is holy, and he alone can then make you holy.
With only about 30 seconds here, the first thing that Christ here speaking with Moses at the burning bush says is, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people." What does that tell you, Pastor Ketchelmar, with about a minute?
Well, again, this understanding of God is not this distant creator that does not care about creation, but it's the Lord God who is with us, who is watching, who is paying attention, and he sees the affliction of his people, and he has compassion upon him, upon them, and he comes to solve this problem. He acts. When he sees his people, he acts.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's Christ in the Old Testament today, way back in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3. The first 15 verses, the famous story of Moses encountering the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the burning bush. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He's host of a weekly radio show called Redeemer Theological Academy. When we come back, what else does Christ have to say to Moses? And what does he send Moses to do? We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Lord, Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt?
I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage? What words can I speak that they will heed?
I will teach thee what thou wilt say.
Another clip from the movie The Ten Commandments, God appearing to Moses at the burning bush. That's the subject of our conversation with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on this Thursday afternoon. Christ in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, Moses and the burning bush. We heard it already there, and I want you to, if you would, comment on something that God has already said to Moses, even before he gets to the great I Am statement, the identification of his name that will stick for the rest of the Old Testament. He begins by saying, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Is that really kind of the first I Am identification for Moses?
Well, with Moses, this whole thing is basically, who am I and who are you? I mean, Moses is in this quandary because here Yahweh is going to send Moses to do this. And so Moses is kind of discomforted by this. You know, what am I? Who am I that I could do this? I would not be able to do this. And so this significant revelation to Moses is that I am the God of Abraham. Okay, well, specifically he says, I am the God of your father, Moses, but also of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, which you know that I have a track record, that I am the one who made a promise to these individuals. I am the one who fulfilled my promise to these individuals, and I will continue to fulfill my promise. And so this is this whole understanding of the righteous will live by faith. You have the promise of God. The people of God are supposed to be in the promised land, but yet they're now in slavery in a different land, and Moses is going to be the one who sent before Pharaoh, and it's, you know, who am I that I could do this? And what Yahweh assures him is that I am the one who is with you. That's the type of God I am. I am the one who comes to be with you.
Now, is it that he's sending Moses, and you've kind of touched upon that already here, kind of, here I am on the mountain, this is where I'm going to stay, you go do this in Egypt, and then come back to me, and I'll be waiting for you here. Is that the picture that we get of him sending Moses?
Yeah, that's almost the picture that Moses gets. You know, Moses is being sent, and Moses saying, I can't do this. How would I be able to do this? Who am I to do this? But what's happening is this is the assurance that Yahweh himself is putting this man into this prophetic office. And then he's not just leaving this man by himself to just do it on his own. Instead, there's the promise that I will be with you, that my words I give to you to speak will be efficacious. So this is the promise, and then he gives him a sign that he will be with him. And this is the sign that you will bring these people out, matter of fact, to the mountain in which I will be there, and you will gather around with me at Mount Sinai. And so that's going to be the sign. So I'm declaring this fact to you. It's a promise. I keep my promises. And so this is what's going to happen. I will be with you while you are in the midst of this affliction against Pharaoh, for I know your suffering.
is he really saying, in effect, to Moses, I'm going to deliver my people? I'm going to take care of this, but I'm sending you to speak for me.
Yes. This is throughout the scripture, we see that our God is one who loves his creation and one who loves to use his creation in order to redeem his creation. So he takes part with his creation, and through instrumental means, he brings salvation to the creation. So you see this throughout the scriptures. I mean, he does this in the New Testament with water and the word and baptism, with bread and wine, body and blood, and Holy Communion, with the men who are put into the pastoral office to speak the absolution. I mean, when Jesus heals people, he spits and puts mud in somebody's eye. It's not that he has to do it this way, but this is the way that the Lord chooses, these instrumental means. And so he puts Moses into the office, and he will then save the people through Moses going up to Pharaoh. Now, he could just speak and say, you are delivered, and it is so, but yet he chooses consistently to send prophets, just like Isaiah. When Isaiah sees the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, who shall we send? Okay, and he's going to send Isaiah.
So nothing's changed, Pastor Ketchelmeyer, from Moses all the way through Christ's ministry to us here in the church. Christ is still delivering his people. He's the one who's doing it, and he's employing us to speak his word.
Exactly. So you see this complete continuity, and this is what we need to keep in mind, is that the Old Testament and the New Testament are the complete word of God, revealing to us the knowledge of salvation. It's not like two different books, like the New Testament now overtakes the Old, and so we can just throw it out like Marcion and forget it. It's the same God who interacts with his people in the same ways, instrumentally. I mean, so you have this in the New Testament where Christ sends out the apostles, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching. I mean, that's the way that the Lord chooses to bring salvation to the world. He could just raise from the dead and say everybody is saved and that's the end of the story, but instead he chooses to put men into this office. And that's why in the divine service we begin the liturgy by confessing our sins, and then the pastor says, by virtue of my office, in the stead of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by his command, I forgive you. So it's not me, Brian, who forgives, but because of the office, it's actually Christ using me as an instrument, and Christ is the one who is forgiving you.
So maybe we should have the burning bush text here as a text for the ordination of pastors. What do you think?
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, this would be an excellent ordination text, because it is a fearful thing to stand before God and to think that you're going to stand by yourself before God. And so the whole passage here is a comfort passage for Moses, that Moses has been brought into God's presence, that God himself is going to put Moses into this office, and God himself will save his people, and Moses will be the instrument that he will be using. I mean, you see this in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul, where the Lord Jesus says, you know, how much Paul will suffer in the midst of this, but he will be the instrument to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And so in the midst of this fallen creation, it is not going to be an easy task, and the sufficiency is not in ourselves, but our sufficiency is in Christ our Lord.
What do you have to say then, with about 3 minutes or so before we close up here, about the name that God reveals to Moses, that name that we use here so often in our conversations, Yahweh, I am who I am?
Yeah, so what happens here is Moses says, well, what's the name that I should give? And, of course, this is the way that God always interacts with his people. The people demand certain things to be filled out in a certain order, but yet God is God, and he will give Moses exactly what he wants to give Moses. He will reveal exactly what Moses wants to know. And so instead of revealing and saying, my name is Joe, my name is Bill, he just looks at Moses and says, I will be who I will be. Just tell him that I will be sent you. So I am the God who is. But specifically, this is tied to, I am the God who is with you. I am the God who will deliver you. So throughout the whole Old Testament, when you confess the name Yahweh, it is tied to the actions of God redeeming his people out of Egypt, the one who comes to save and to deliver those who are oppressed. And so this is the confession of Yahweh, so that when you get into the land of Canaan and everybody's confessing a different God, that is a different Elohim, you can specifically say, the Elohim that I confess is Yahweh who brought us out of Egypt with an outstretched arm. So that you see the same understanding in the New Testament when we confess Christ to be Lord. We are saying that Christ is Yahweh, the one who has come to save us from slavery and tyranny to death, to sin, and to the devil. And so when we confess Christ, we are not just saying the name Jesus with no backing to it, but it's specifically who Jesus is and what Jesus does, which is Yahweh's salvation incarnate.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. And next week we'll talk with Pastor Ketchelmeyer about Malachi chapter 4, the first six verses, the great and terrible day of the Lord. Brian, looking forward to it, and thank you for being our guest.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Ken Sherb will be sitting in for me. He'll discuss finding themes in weekly Old Testament epistle and gospel lessons with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When God speaks this promise to Moses, he is committing himself, as he has with all of his Old Testament promises, to finally deliver us, to appear among us, to be with us in the crucified and risen Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.